We're going to be talking now about the first residents of Wisconsin. You know, as we tweet and Twitter and use other forms of personal communication, we lose sight of the fact that 99% of our human past occurred before written records. The first written records go back about 4,900 years to Sumeria, and long before that, people arrived in the area we call Wisconsin. We're going to be doing a series of programs over the next several months with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at UW Baraboo in Sauk County, about Wisconsin archaeology and anthropology, and really looking forward to doing that as we start kind of early on and work our way forward. And hopefully you have some interest or some questions to ask him as we move along today as we discuss the archaeology of Wisconsin. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Tom is with us by phone today. Dean Plager, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Larry. I'm excited to be here and anxious to talk about Wisconsin archaeology and our first inhabitants in the state.
And our first inhabitants, a little bit surprised that there is some conclusive evidence, I guess, to indicate that Native Americans first entered the state from the south.
Yes, the term what we use is Paleo-Indian, and this is an artificial name that archaeologists have given to these first cultures of peoples that were Ice Age peoples that explored North America, and particularly Wisconsin. And they entered a region probably from the southwestern part of the state, because the northern part of the state would have been, at least the northern third, still covered with ice. This took place at the end of the last ice age, between 12,000, 13,000 years ago. And people would have been coming into a virgin landscape that never would have had any human occupation prior to this, very different looking from today in terms of the plants and animal life. And our state has a very unusual geology, that the majority of it was glaciated, but we also have a pocket, the Driftless Area, that was not glaciated, and people explored this landscape for the first time at the end of the last ice age.
And what was, you mentioned that the flora and fauna were quite different. In what ways?
Well, you have to realize that the landscape would have had a series of different ecological zones. The northern part of the state locked in ice. The ice age was ending, and there was a recession, a melting away of these massive ice sheets that are responsible for much of the geology of the state, including the formation of the Great Lakes. So imagine the northern state, the upper peninsula, buried beneath sheets of ice, and then a series of different ecological zones in front of that would have included outwashed gravel, barren, almost tundra-like landscapes, to muskeg swamps and coniferous forests. We would have had mammoth, mastodon, Ice Age elephants have both been found in Wisconsin, an Ice Age buffalo or bison that's 20% or larger than the modern species, a black bear-sized beaver in Wisconsin, a giant sloth on the Great Plains, a giant camel. And so you would have seen a landscape that would be unfamiliar to most people today in terms of what the vegetation looked like from north to south, and also a variety of creatures on the landscape that all of us have never seen in person.
Yeah. Were the Paleo-Indians, they were hunters and gatherers?
Yes. This term, again, is artificial. There aren't any people in prehistory that call themselves Paleo-Indians, and we have no idea what languages they spoke or whether they were a single ethnic group or multiple ethnic groups. But they are likely, the first people of Wisconsin are likely the descendants of an original or multiple migrations from Northeast Asia into the New World or the Americas. And from the archaeology on the Great Plains and now archaeology in Wisconsin, the Midwest and Eastern North America, we know that these were very small dispersed populations of people living in bands. They would not have had any draft animals or domesticated animals other than possibly the dog, and very mobile, focusing on terrestrial game, both large game but also small game. There's some work that's been done by Steve Kuhn in the northern part of Wisconsin, where in late Paleo-Indian times we've identified a variety of small game that people are eating as well. So these were expert hunter-gatherer peoples that really knew the landscape exceptionally well to survive in an environment that otherwise would have been quite hostile.
And what was their weaponry like?
Well, the the discoveries that clued us in to what these first people's weapons and technologies were like were made first in the Great Plains, site discovered in the 1920s at Folsom, New Mexico, distinctive fluted spear point with a large channel or flake up the center was found embedded in extinct buffalo, and that was the first time that stone tools were connected with Ice Age mammals. Subsequently, a discovery at Blackwater Draw, the Clovis site in New Mexico, with an even larger projectile, a different fluting technique that was associated with mammoth remains. And the primary weapon of these very first early Paleo-Indian peoples is a spear point that was made at sort of a lancelet-shaped concave base and then a flake or groove flaked out of the center for the facilitation of a unique hafting implement. So handheld spears, sometimes thrown, likely thrown with a spear thrower or an atlatl, no bow and arrow technology, very portable technology that allowed people to survive in this environment.
Oh, interesting. Matt in Hatfield has a question or comment. Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, thanks.
I'm up in Jackson County, and there's a spot up here called Silver Mound. And I think it's like the only national site for Native Americans, something like that. Could you tell me more?
Sure. Silver Mound's an amazing archaeological site. It is a national register site. There are other national register, and this particular site, I believe, also has landmark status. And it was a quarry. The term mound is somewhat misleading. It's not artificially made, but it's a quarry where Native peoples were attracted to a very unique geological deposit in our state, a material called Hixton silicified sandstone. It's a very fine-grained, siliceous material that works exceptionally well for making flake stone tools. And we know that Paleo-Indians regularly visited the site. There have been dozens of Paleo-Indian weapons and tools found around the site. And the material from that location has been found throughout the Midwest. So really peoples were visiting this location, retooling. In fact, one of the most important resources probably for survival in prehistoric times was the right stone that would allow you to make weapons and implements. And this quarry is one of the largest deposits in the state, and people then probably seasonally return to this particular location. In fact, some research done by a colleague of mine by the name of Matt Hill, who is now at Iowa State University, he's been able to demonstrate that there are spent or exhausted, worn-out Paleo-Indian tools there that are made of foreign materials or exotic to Wisconsin that people are throwing away and then retooling there on the landscape and moving on. So it's a very important archaeological site and was visited by the very first people of Wisconsin and used all the way up to historic contact.
Very good. Thanks. And just one other point, too. Some of it's really pretty with sandstone, you know, with the banding and stuff.
And it's amazing qualities of this material. And it Paleo-Indian cultures seem to have gone beyond the practical in the manufacture of their weapons. They selected the highest grade stone, some of it having very pleasing aesthetic qualities to it. In that particular deposit at Silver Mound has some really beautiful purples and browns and maple sugar colored material that we know Paleo-Indians prized.
Very good. Thank you.
All Thank
right.
you. Great
Thanks
question.
Yeah, good question. Thanks. Nick in Green Bay, we turn to you next. Hi, Nick.
Hi, just got a quick question. Very interesting show. I grew up in in Green Bay here. Actually, Fort Howard was up the west side. And they had the big fort there, and I was just wondering, I heard they're going to do some digs there, but it kind of just disappeared, and I was wondering if they're going to actually do some archaeological digs over there? Or...
I'm not involved in research there at the moment, but there are other archaeologists I know that have done historic work in the area. Janet Speth, who's at the University of Wisconsin-Fox Valley, has been involved in some of the historic archaeology in the city of Green Bay. I'm not familiar with an immediate plan, but that's an area of time that I'm not immediately working in, so it may be possible. There's a long history of archaeology in the Green Bay area, but the question you're asking about is historic contact associated with European occupation, and I'm not aware of something going on, but there may very well be.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Peter in Madison, excuse me. Hi, Peter.
Hello, folks. Yeah, I had a comment. I'd been on a field trip to visit a rock shelter near Muscadet, run by Bob Seltzer from the University of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And they had an interesting soil in there that appeared to be man-made, that when combined with water would create heat. And I guess my question would be, I hadn't been there in 10 years, and I was wondering if you're aware of what research is going on now there.
Sure. I believe you're talking about Gottschall Rock Shelter in Iowa County, and Bob Salzer, who is an emeritus professor at Beloit College, has been the primary excavator there. I don't believe there's ongoing field research at the moment, but certainly is in terms of the analysis, and there's been a number of published reports about that site. It's a late prehistoric site, and the soil that you're referring to is sometimes called an anthrosed, which means humanly made, and it was that idea of making sediments for coloring for special ritual purposes extends all the way from Paleo-Indian times up to historic contact. And that's a very special site, but very late in prehistory, and it's one that I'm hoping we'll have a chance to talk about in one of the later series.
One of the later shows, yeah. Thanks for calling, Peter.
Thank you.
Yeah, Daniel in Rice Lake, on to you.
Copper culture centered on northern Wisconsin and the upper peninsula of Michigan is little known. How long after the ice receded did Paleo-Indians utilize native copper?
Great question. Paleo-Indian peoples, for the most part, utilized stone, bone, wood, hide. And there are a number of researchers who have argued that they would have eventually, in Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula, stumbled across copper, native copper, and utilized it. It was used by later cultures. There's one site in particular, Interstate Park, that's over on the St. Croix River, that was excavated, I believe, in the 1930s, that revealed one of these giant bison skeletons of Ice Age origin. And one of the artifacts associated with it was a copper awl, and there was always some question as to whether this was directly linked to the age of the bison or whether it was put there by a subsequent later native culture. And again, a colleague of mine, Matt Hill, at Iowa State University, has been working on this, and he seems to believe that there's good evidence to connect these two together. So it may very well be by the end of Paleo-Indian times, let's say by 8 to 9,000 years ago, people were starting to experiment with copper in our region. It was heavily used after that time frame.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. We're talking today about the very first residents of Wisconsin with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County Campus. We're going to be doing a series of programs, maybe up five programs with him over the next several months as we talk about the archaeology and anthropology of our state. You can join us at 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the very first residents of Wisconsin today with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. The first of a series of programs we're going to be doing with him about the archaeology, anthropology of our state. I'm really pleased to have him with us today by phone to talk about it. You can join in with a question or comment of your own at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. And, you know, some time ago, Dean Plager, David Overstreet of the Great Lakes Archaeological Center in Milwaukee excavated some sites in Kenosha County and made what was considered a kind of a startling discovery that might add to the debate over the arrival of the first peoples in Wisconsin.
Yes, it's actually Dave Overstreet and Dan Joyce, who's now a curator and was a curator at the time at the Kenosha Public Museum, which, by the way, has an outstanding exhibit on Paleo-Indian archaeology. They did some detective work of looking at historic, meaning 1960s and I believe even earlier, discoveries of mammoth and mastodon remains in Kenosha County. In the early 1990s, they went back to a number of these locations, opened up excavation units, and in the case of the Schaefer mammoth, they identified, uncovered the disarticulated remains of an Ice Age elephant, a mammoth that had very convincing cut marks on it that suggest that it was defleshed with stone tools. It was in disarticulated order, meaning it wasn't in the anatomical order that the animal would have died, and the remains decomposed, suggesting humans were involved in the movement of the remains. And then a series of flake stone tools recovered with this animal. Radiocarbon dates on the bone produced dates in the 12,000s and now even 13,000s BP or years ago, which make this one of the first sites in Wisconsin that clearly links mammoth with human butchery, but potentially makes this one of the oldest mammoth butchery sites in the Americas. And it allows us to sort of rethink our model of when the first people got here, perhaps even 1,000 years earlier than what we had previously thought. So it's an incredible wealth of information. Subsequently, a number of other mammoth and mastodon remains have been investigated there. And a great place to go and view these materials are at the Kenosha Public Museum. Again, Dan Joyce has just done an outstanding job as a curator there on the archaeology exhibits, and you can actually see casts and reconstructions and some of the actual bones and materials recovered with these excavations there.
Interesting. Let's go to Les in Marshfield next. Les, hi to you.
Hi, Larry. Dean, they've recently put in a new bridge over the Wisconsin River just north of Stevens Point. It connects Highway 10 with the Interstate 39. An archaeological site was discovered while they were excavating there. And I was wondering what type of materials were found, how old, and how far back they go.
Well, I'm not familiar with this specific excavation. It sounds like it's something that was recently done. There's been a lot of work in the Stevens Point area, primarily with highway construction. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is really one of the largest spenders or initiators of archaeology in the state of Wisconsin. When road construction is done, it requires federal and state monies. Archaeological impact studies are done. So there's archaeology going on as we speak in the state connected with highway projects in the area of Highway 10 in that region. I'm aware that there were a number of archaic in woodland sites that were discovered, and that wouldn't surprise me. That portion of the state, given all the water resources and the Wisconsin River, was a major focus for Native peoples in prehistory.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Scott in Summit Lake, we turn to you next. Hi, Scott.
Hi there. Just before the news, you were talking about a quarry where the stone tools were made. I did not catch the name of the place where the quarry was.
Silver Mound is the name of the site. It's near. It's in Jackson County, near the community of Hixton. There's a small marker off of the highway there that is a state marker that you can visit, and there's a local KOA campground that adjoins the site. But much of the site is either in private hands or in properties owned by the state of Wisconsin. The area that is accessible is the marker outside of the quarry right off of the highway.
Can you obtain stone from there if I wanted to practice or play around with making flint tools or flint napping?
Stone
available?
Can't from the protected public lands. The deposit is protected. That's in the hands of public preservation. But you might be able to talk to a private individual. Ideally, there's only so much of that material there, and the more that's taken away from the site, there's only a finite amount.
Yeah.
That's something that if you have some friends that are involved in flint napping, might know of a source to obtain that through proper channels. You might check, for example, I think Bernie's Rock Shop in Madison has a number of materials that have been properly gathered for flint nappers or people who are interested in making stone tools in the present.
Mm.
Very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Gloria and Maribel, we turn to you now. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been out of the area for a while, but I used to live in Mantua County around the Maryville Caves area. And my dad used to find arrowheads in that. And we had a cave we used to always crawl through. But when they put the I-43 in, they kind of blasted a lot and you know,
yeah.
Fill in. I was just kind of curious as to what tribe would have been in the area.
Well, that's a good question, and let me try to relate this we're talking about the very first people in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We know that Native cultures extend back 12 to 13,000 years to the end of the Ice Age, and when Europeans arrived, the Menominee, the Ho-Chunk, the Chippewa and Ojibwe in the northern part of the state, later arrival, the Potawatomi, a number of Native groups were here. There are several groups that have oral traditions suggesting creation stories or that they originated in what we now call Wisconsin, and there's no question that their ancestry can be traced back through time. But the question is, as you move back through time, how can you identify one specific ethnic or modern Indian group, let's say 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. So the Paleo-Indian cultures that we're talking about today would be very difficult to say these are directly connected to modern Indian tribe X. Rather, they're the ancestors of all native peoples who occupy this region and North America.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And Fred in Glendale, we go on to you now. Hi, Fred.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Living in Glendale, I've learned that they have Glendale has Indian mounds in it, but the city fathers don't designate the areas where these things are. I'd like to know, could I find a website that would illustrate this? I tried the Milwaukee County Historical Society, but they really didn't have that much information.
Well, a great source is a good question, and a great source would be to contact the State Archaeologist's Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society. John Broyhan's the State Archaeologist there. Their office maintains the official records of archaeological sites and properties in the state of Wisconsin. And if you have mounds in public lands, if those are recorded, they'd have a record as to when they were recorded and the extent of their condition, and it would be a good connection to connect city officials with the State Archaeologist's Office if they're interested in preserving or putting up interpretive signage. That's the office in the state that I encourage you to work with.
Okay. One other question, and would these mounds be considered burial mounds?
Most mounds were burial mounds. It depends upon their shape and size. We don't know if all mounds were. Some we know were not. And the state treats all mounds as though they are likely to be burial containers or receptacles or places of cemeteries. Many were, but there are some that have been demonstrated to not. And it is likely if you have conical or effigy-shaped mounds that these are, in fact, connected with later prehistoric populations, starting about mound construction starts about 2,500 years ago and continued up into 1,000 years ago and even more recently. So it would date somewhere in that time frame.
And that was just going to be my next question. I'm thinking